Happy Friday and welcome back to Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen every single day. I am your host, Jake Ignaszewski, or Iggy for short. And I also am joined by my co-host, Nesson writer Lauren Campbell. Lauren and I had the opportunity to interview Red Sox minor leaguer Zach Kelly. And this is part two of our conversation with Zach. And in this portion of the interview, we had the opportunity to talk to Zach about his experiences in the Red Sox organization, some of his favorite players to play with so far, as well as what his experience was like during the COVID outbreak this past August. And also, he tells a few funny stories about Red Sox top prospect Tristan Casas. So let's get into part two of the Zach Kelly interview.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I'd love if you could talk about your experience with the Portland Sea Dogs and your time in Portland, and also kind of that feeling when you got called up to AAA.
Yeah, Portland was cool. It was a lot colder than I thought it was going to be. I know it was usually pretty cold up there, but in May I had a little bit of a hope that it wouldn't be too bad, but I was wrong there. The opening day was like 40 something. It was just cold all the way around up there, but it was good. I thought we had a really, really good group of guys to start, all the way from players to staff, and kind of got along really well. And so that was a really fun clubhouse to be in. That park is awesome. Kind of has like the Fenway replica. They have good fans up there, and the town and the city in itself is just really cool. You kind of got like your like northern beach town, and obviously the lobster stuff up there is really cool. And so days that were not at the park, like on off days, it was a really cool place to kind of go around and check out. But as far as playing wise, it was fun. It was my second double A, so I kind of felt comfortable at that level already, and so there wasn't really too much of a adjustment period. I had a little bit of a shoulder flare up to start the year, and so I think I made like my first appearance, the third or fourth game for that first series, and then kind of took a little bit of a break, and then kind of threw again and took a little bit more of a break. But everything after that went as planned. And so, other than that little hiccup right there, I think everything there went really well. And then, whatever the week of the trade deadline was, I think so. Like the last week in July is when I got called up, because kind of a conversation, a couple minute conversation with our manager Corey Wimberly and our pitching coach Lance Carter, and then from there just kind of packed all my stuff up and drove down to Worcester.
That's amazing. And I mean it makes sense that they called you up quickly. I mean, in Double A last year, over 26.2 innings, you had a 1.69 ERA. So I mean that's what every team is sort of looking for in the bullpen. But other than obviously the competitive edge or competitive change from Double A to Triple A, what was sort of like the differences from playing in Portland and playing in Worcester in terms of like maybe the amenities or like the coaching staff?
Yeah, it was funny. The manager, Billy McMillan, he probably lives 15 minutes away from where I live down here in South Carolina, and I had no idea before I got there. So I thought that that was kind of cool. And then Paul Abbott, our pitching coach, he was great, and I was able to kind of work on some of the stuff that I was working on in AA when I got to Worcester. I wasn't really trying to think too much into it. The only thing that was really different for me was just, the hitters are a little bit better, and some of them that you know their names a little bit more than some of the guys you face in AA just because they have big league time. My first couple outings went great, and then I think after that for you know, the span of a week. So kind of, I think I kind of got in my own head a little bit, just trying to, you know, be too good with everything and trying to, you know, do make pitches that I didn't need to make, but so good. And so for a couple of weeks there, I believe probably the second half of August, I was just falling behind a lot of counts, trying to make everything too good and trying to be, you know, too nitpicky and, you know, getting with, you know, better hitters, and you give them better counts to hit in, they're going to do what they do. And, you know, it's make you pay for mistakes and, you know, make you pay for it. And so once I kind of got out of that rut a little bit towards, you know, September and the last month and a half or month plus of the season, I think my numbers kind of turned around a little bit. And so that was really the only adjustment that I had. And I didn't really feel like it was a competitive, you know, this thought process as far as that, you know, I'm not good enough to be here. I think it was just me trying to do a little bit too much instead of kind of keeping what I did in Portland and then, you know, maybe having to be a little bit better as far as location was. But yeah, I really think kind of like the struggle there in August was more on my mindset towards stuff rather than just kind of getting hit around.
And what was your first reaction to pitching in Polar Park? It's a brand new park. Last year was the inaugural season of it opening, just brand new kind of everything. What was it like pitching there, and what did you think of it overall?
I mean, you know, at that point, you know, it honestly felt like, you know, the big leagues to a sense, just because, you know, when in 2019 I played in Mobile, Alabama, and that park was there's no telling how old that park. You'll only get, you know, 500-600 fans a game, and so, you know, that was essentially a whole season of spring training games, unfortunately. But, you know, in Portland they had a lot of fans. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't close to what Worcester had, but, you know, the first night, I think, you know, it was packed house. I think it was like a weekend, and, you know, that park is obviously is unbelievable. And, you know, I think I read something where it's one of the most expensive AAA ballparks, you know, in the leagues. And so that park is in itself is just incredible. You know, the fan support there is incredible, and, you know, it's really fun to pitch there. It's awesome.
That's really cool. I actually work in Worcester right now, so I drive by it all the time, see the Polar Park, and yeah. I can't wait to visit it. I've seen a lot of pictures. Unfortunately, I haven't had the opportunity to get the full experience. But you've played with the Red Sox for one season so far, and I was wondering who's been some of your favorite teammates since being in the Red Sox organization?
You know, all of them are great. Feel like the first couple months for me, I was kind of trying to feel out people because I didn't want to make the wrong first impression. So for, you know, there for a long time, it was like every conversation you had was a first impression with somebody. You know, a couple of other guys, just, you know, from just like common people that I got to know. You know, me and Feltman, we were pretty close. We were roommates on the road, and so, you know, even in Portland. And so I think he got called up a week before I did in Portland, but we were at home. And so by the time we were on the road again in Worcester, you know, we were back together. And so every road series from start to finish this year was me and him. And so obviously we grew close. And Caleb Bort was another one when I got to Worcester. And, you know, me and him kind of have similar stories to a sense where, you know, from a small school and undrafted. And now, you know, he went from the bottom of the big leagues. And so, you know, that was awesome. My wife and him and his wife were out to dinner one night after a game, which when he got called up to go on the taxi squad, which, you know, obviously turned into him getting activated and going to the big leagues. But so it was cool to see that. But I, you know, selfishly, I wish I could have seen his reaction if they told him he was going to the big league straight then. But me and him got, you know, we were pretty close. Me and Seth Blair, we were throwing partners all year. And so, you know, me and him are kind of helping each other with different stuff and stuff that I do. And like just kind of talking to see how we go about things that, you know, some stuff that I can take from him and vice versa. But, you know, everybody in this organization is really, really first class. You don't really have any like
clubhouse cancer kind of people. And so, you know, I think that's why, I think that's why this organization is so successful, because that's, that's really a hard part, especially being in the minor leagues, just because you have, part of the guys on the team are happy to be there, and part of the team is, sometimes not happy that they're there, and they feel like they should be up a level. And so a lot of the times, you kind of have both of those forces pushing against each other, and it just causes a bad clubhouse. But I can't say a single negative thing about the guys we had in Portland or in Worcester. Everybody got along. Everybody, knew what their plans were and kind of what that process was, and to trust that. And I think that comes from communication just from the top down, just because, conversations are had from the top down to us. And so, our expectations are, we don't know exactly the timeline. I know what their expectations are for us. And so, that's something that we can base off of. So it's not something where it's like, I expect to be doing this, when other organizations, if you don't have that conversation with the front office, you can kind of fall into. But having those conversations with the front office, you know what your plan is, So I think that is a huge part of it.
I hope you guys are enjoying our conversation with Red Sox minor leaguer Zach Kelly. I also wanted to take a second to talk to you about Built Bar. You guys know how much I love Built Bar, especially during this holiday season. Grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar. Filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with descent flavor, covered in chocolate by amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. There's so many flavors as well. You'll have a hard time choosing. We have raspberry or mint chocolate brownie, or even cherry or double chocolate. They also have cookies and cream as well, or peanut butter brownie. That sounds really good. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just starting in the endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse, and you never know when you're going to need it. And another great tip, especially if you want to cozy up with something warm, here's a holiday secret. Dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of cocoa. Let it melt a little and give your beverage a bit of that Built Bar flavor. Plus, you'll have a nice melty Built Bar to go with it. And be sure to have a couple of napkins on hand, because it can definitely get a little bit messy. But Built Bar has a very special offer. Just go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. And I also wanted to take a second to talk to you about Stance. I've really been enjoying the Stance items and how comfortable and colorful everything is. The apparel is very well made, super soft, entirely unique. It's a lot of fun to wear as well, and I'm really looking forward to purchasing more for myself, especially during this holiday season. Stance gives you a sense of confidence and simply by feeling good. Stance was founded in 2009, and the apparel brand represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborations for the ultimate in style and self-expression, because everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in. And one of my favorite collaborations that they have had is with The Office, Major League Baseball, NBA, and some of my favorites is Pixar. I don't know about you guys, but I always love myself some Pixar. That and those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com and get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of the life less extraordinary with Stance. Now let's get back to Lauren and I's conversation with Red Sox minor leaguer Zach Kelly.
Yeah, I think that the Red Sox through and through have a lot of big personalities in a good way. And like you said, doesn't really create any clubhouse cancers, and everyone just kind of, you know, they know why they're there, and there can be big personalities that kind of get in the way of themselves and other teammates. But in a sense where everyone is so supportive, last year, the Red Sox had a huge COVID outbreak toward the end of the season. A lot of players were getting called up. A lot of players were getting called to the taxi squad. So what was it like just kind of being in the midst of that COVID outbreak, like the atmosphere? Was it just a little, was it nerve-wracking? Were people being super supportive of those getting called up or even those testing positive for COVID?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you know, Ort was one of those guys who got his chance because of that, you know, Gonzalez, he got back there. He had been kind of, he had been in the big leagues, but hadn't been back in a while. And so he got to get back up there. And Siebold, Cutter Crawford, they made their debuts. And, you know, those, Jack Lopez, you know, other guys that, you know, other, for the ones who tested positive and couldn't be on the roster, you know, obviously you'd never want that for them. But it allowed these other guys to, what they can do and how they can help at the big league level, which is, you know, what we're all trying to do. What, in whatever way that happens, you know, nobody asked you how it happened. It's just, you know, you were there. And so seeing that was awesome. But, you know, for us in Worcester, it was hard because, you know, we didn't know who was going to be in the clubhouse every day when we got there. And I think they're on the road for a lot of it. So there would be some days where we'd come in and have like three or four there, and like you obviously know where they went, but it's like we don't know who's coming back. And there were two games I think where we had one extra guy on the roster, and so it's like, wow, two guys getting hurt, we were gonna have to like throw a pitcher in the outfield or something. And it was crazy. Like, you literally didn't know. Like, it was an everyday thing. And I mean, they don't really share that information too much with us, but once it gets kind of publicized, it's like you check on Twitter and it's like, oh, well, three guys tested positive. So, all right, three guys here. Like, somebody's going to have to be packing their bags soon. So it was cool. I don't think any team had like a single outbreak like the Red Sox did. And so,
no,
yeah, just to kind of get over that. And I mean, shoot, to do as well as they did during that was just impressive in itself.
I think they won like two out of the three games against the Rays, one of the series. But yeah, I remember as a fan, it was a little bit frustrating because it happened in August, and August the Red Sox were horrendous, and you know, things just kept getting worse and worse. But I can only imagine how stressful it was for Wu Sox manager Billy McMillan, like just thinking in his mind, who am I going to be able to, you know, put in the lineup? Like who's gonna actually be able to play?
Yeah, I mean, we had like three catchers on our roster, and I think, you know, at one point, like, one of them was playing third, one was playing first, one was catching, and so it was just a whole fiasco. I think, you know, secretly all the pitchers in batting practice every day were kind of having their own little tryout for the outfield if that happened.
That's funny.
So that was fun in itself.
How'd you do in the outfield? Did you try it all?
Oh, I didn't miss a ball.
Okay.
I didn't miss one. You throw me in right field, and you know, I can't guarantee that I would throw somebody out, but I'm gonna throw it on a line somewhere. It might not go to the catcher, but it's going somewhere. Maybe to the
Hunter Renfro just got traded, so maybe Heim Bloom will be looking for a new right fielder.
if that happens and I have to hit with the catcher, you know, if it's anything over, yeah, just forget it. I'm past that part of my career.
Just lay a bunt down. That's funny.
Oh yeah.
And then sort of like, I bet that was obviously a pretty interesting experience. But I mean, especially for a guy like Cutter Crawford, who, you know, he had to sort of just go up and start for Nick Pivetta, I remember, out of nowhere. It was just a last minute thing. And sort of, you being around him so much, what was his kind of reaction?
It was so unfortunate because our relievers, we have like two groups, and so we like alternate shagging every day. And he so he was in the clubhouse, and then we went out and shagged. And by the time we got back into the clubhouse after BP, he was gone. And so we didn't really get to like say anything to him. But you know, obviously, like you said, me and him started the year together, and so we, you know, I think it was me and Durbin because he started the year in Portland too. We called him, and you know, he didn't really know if he was gonna start until the day of, and so he was just in kind of like out on standby at the hotel, and then. You know, obviously he got the throw and we made sure that we watched it, but you know, it was cool because like obviously with him it was such a last minute thing, but he was able to, I know he had a lot of people there, and so just for that short notice and for him to have some people there for his debut was good to see. You know, it would have been cool if we had actually like got to like talk to him in the clubhouse that day, but right. It's all right.
That's funny. And you also had some experience as well in AA and AAA a little bit with big Red Sox top prospect, Tristan Cassis. And I was curious sort of your experience playing with him. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, he seems pretty quiet, but just goes up there and hits absolute moonshots. So what was it like, you know, playing with him?
He's unbelievable. He's going to be such a good big leaguer. You know, I can't wait for them to get up there. Because he's not, you see like a lot of these young prospects that, you know, they get up there and they fall into a trap of just trying to, especially having such like as much power as he does, just trying to sit there and just hit so many home runs. And then, you know, after a couple years of doing that, it's like, yeah, they have a bunch of home runs, but they also have a lot of strikeouts. And then everybody kind of just writes them off as just another home run or strikeout kind of hitter. But, you know, he's not that. Watching his BP and what he does, I don't think I've seen him hit double-digit home runs in batting practice. He hits drives to left center whenever he wants. And you know, I think that's, you know, that's a guy that, you know, he knows, he understands what he needs to do to prepare to get his swing right. But, you know, and then in the game, he just kind of takes what he gives you. Funny story, my first ever like experience of meeting Tristan, we're playing at the Twins complex in spring training. And, you know, I didn't really know much about him, but I knew he was like a big time prospect or whatever, whatnot. And so we're sitting there and it's like me and a couple of the guys in the bullpen, just getting ready for whenever our inning comes, and he's DHing that day. So before, like during, when we're on defense, he was coming down to the bullpen and like going like game as he was playing first base, like no glove or anything, but like just, you know, taking like his steps to sit and play. You know, he's going he's going to like where a base would be, like he's actually playing in the game, just getting in, you know, getting in reps without actually being in the game. And I've never seen that in baseball before. And then to find out he was only 21 years old, it was just, you know, wild to me that he's actually doing this. And so, you know, I think that just kind of speaks to the maturity level of him and, you know, how serious he takes his career. And so, like, just doing the little stuff like that and just watching him go through his day-to-day stuff, just, you know, that's why I just know he's going to be an unbelievable big leaguer.
That's really interesting. He's younger than I am.
Yeah, me too. And I stand beside him like, I feel so small.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of hype around him, and understandably so. And you know, You've mentioned being around people like Tristan, like Cutter, and having good management and good experience, and also a strong recovery in your elbow surgery. But did those all kind of rolled into one help you be so successful in 2021?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, like kind of like talking about earlier, we're just having a good group of guys at both places. You know, when you have good guys around, it's fun. It's fun to be there. And I know, you know, playing 6 months straight and, you know, playing 6 days in a row out of the week, it can get tedious for sure. I mean, you do anything that much, and there's some days that you just don't want to be there, obviously. But you know, that happens time to time with baseball, obviously. But this year, it didn't really happen as much as it has in the past. And so, know, when you're having fun and, you know, you enjoy being at the field every day, you enjoy getting your working with other guys because you have other guys doing the work with you. And, you know, always every guys just picking each other's brains and like sharing information with what works for them. It makes it a lot easier. And so, you know, when you're having fun with everything, it's a lot easier to go out there and, you know, you have guys when you do throw well and, you know, you have guys picking you up, like telling you, like, dude, your stuff was great this day. Like, look at these couple of pitches. Look how good those were. And so, like, right. The support and just like being able to build confidence from, you know, teammates is awesome. And I do think that's like a huge part of, you know, how my year went. And so, you know, I attribute that a lot to my teammates.
And for people who don't know, I mentioned Zach's stats in AA, but in AAA, over 18 innings, he had a 2.89 ERA. And you were also named the 2021 RedSox.com All-Star. So when you first were told about that, what was your sort of reaction?
Yeah. You know, I didn't really notice at first, but somebody sent that to me. And then, you know, it was cool because being a, you know, 20-year-old Division II undrafted senior, you don't get a lot of recognition. You know, I'm not really searching for, like, obviously, you know, I'm not ever going to be like on a prospect list because I'm just not. But, you know, it was cool to like, get some recognition, you know, for the year that I had. And, you know, seeing some of the other guys on there and some of the years they had, it's just, you know, like, it was cool to see because, you know, other than guys I played with, I don't really know too many people in the org, but some of the guys in, you know, Greenville and Salem, they went off too. And so to see that, like, kind of see the success, the top to bottom, and it was really, really encouraging just for, you know, the years to come for the Red Sox.
That's the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order at built.com. Now let's get back to our conversation with Zach Kelly. Sorry to interrupt again. I hope you guys are enjoying Lauren and I's conversation with Red Sox minor leaguer Zach Kelly. But I just wanted to take a second to talk to you guys about Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered all season, more props and odds and lines than ever before as the football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head on over to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now let's get back to Lauren and I's conversation with Red Sox minor leaguer Zach Kelly. Makes sense.
And you have an MLB invite going into the spring training. Whenever that happens, hopefully February 14th, when pitchers and catchers are supposed to report. But how are you looking to improve in 2022 after a pretty strong 2021? And kind of what are your long-term and short-term goals for the season?
Yeah. Hopefully it happens. But whenever like camp gets here, just from here until then, it's, you know, just kind of try to keep doing what I've always done. You know, I'm like a firm believer, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And so, you know, the training and the preparation that I've done every off season, you know, has continued to do well for me. So I'm just going to continue doing that same, you know, with lifting and with throwing, you know, being just making sure I'm prepared to get there in mid February. But, you know, when that comes, I'm just trying to learn a lot. There's a lot of guys, you know, there's a couple guys that are up there, like, you know, Chris, when he was rehabbing, and Brazier too, that I was able to talk to them a lot and learn from them. But, you know, there's a lot of other guys up there that I'd like to learn from too and kind of pick their brain. But so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking for working a little bit more on my slider this year. And I kind of changed that midway through the season. And, you know, I just kind of it was almost like a grip it and rip it kind of figure out a grip one day, and then in Harrisburg one night, and then that night I went in and I just started shaking to it because I just wanted to throw it and see what happens. And I think, you know, towards the end of the year I got it to about where I want it, and so now I just have like a perfect opportunity to continue working on that specifically. But you know, I don't really have any set actions from the gate. All I want to do is just to get in there and have a healthy camp and just pitch what the cards fall where they fall. Because you know, as long as I do my job and put myself in a good position, you know, I feel comfortable letting the decision makers make their decisions. And so whatever that is, I'm fine with. But I want to be in the big leagues as soon as I can. And so my goal is just to pitch well enough to kind of force the front office's hand to give me a shot in the big leagues. And, you know, I think I can be successful there. And so whenever that opportunity comes, just trying to make the most of it and, you know, getting as many outs every night until AC takes the ball from me. And I mean, long-term, obviously, I want to be in the big leagues for as long as I can. I don't really have like a set, like, you know, yearly amount that I want to be there, but I just want to be there as long as I can and just stay healthy. And then, you know, if that happens, I'm content.
Makes sense. Well, luckily the Red Sox need a lot of bullpen help. So hopefully we can see you out there during this next season. But lastly, Zach, we got hundreds of Red Sox fans that listen to this every single day. And obviously, they're after listening to this, they're excited to see you at Fenway. So is there any message that you would want to say to Red Sox fans?
Yeah, I mean, just seeing the support. Even at the minor league level, I can't even imagine what it's going to be at the big league level if that time comes for me. But you know, Boston's an unbelievable sports city, and you know, they pull hard for their team. So you know, that's very encouraging to see. And you know, especially this organization, I think we have a lot of guys that you know are going to make this team successful for a long time. Started this past year and with the run that they had. And so I expect that to be the new baseline for this organization. And I think this org is going to be really successful for a long time coming.
We both really hope so as well. And hopefully you can be a part of that. And for anybody who's looking to follow you on any social medias, where can they find you?
I think, it's underscore Kelly, and I think on Instagram it's Zach_Kelly19.
Perfect. Awesome. So everybody go and follow Zach over there, and I really appreciate you taking the time tonight, Zach.
Absolutely, guys. I really appreciate it.
Perfect.
Thanks so much.
I hope you guys did enjoy part two of the Zach Kelly interview. Thank you so much for listening up to this point and for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen every single day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Also, make sure you follow Locked On Red Sox on Twitter. It's LO_Red Sox because we want to get you guys involved. We're going to be tweeting throughout the next few weeks just different questions. We want to hear your guys' thoughts, as well as we want to get you guys involved in these exciting player interviews so you guys can ask the questions that you want to the players that are going to be coming on the show. And make sure that you subscribe on whatever audio platform you're listening to, as well as YouTube, so you get notified when these exciting player interviews come out. But like I've said before, even though the lockout is going on, Lauren and I still have tons to talk about, as well as people to talk to. So we really appreciate all the support throughout this MLB lockout. It really does mean the world. Make sure you follow myself on Twitter @JakeIggy, as well as my co-host, Nesson writer Lauren Campbell. It's la, 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 four laws, Lauren with four R's. So make sure you follow us over there. We really appreciate it. And also buckle up, because next week is going to be filled with more player interviews. on Monday, just a sneak peek, former Red Sox player Ryan LaVarnway will be coming on the show. So definitely get ready for that one and tweet us on Twitter to let us know what questions you want to ask Ryan LaVarnway. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Really does mean the world. And we will see you guys and talk to you guys on Monday. Peace.